Well, we're going to have a word of prayer and talk about where we'd like to go this year with our adult Bible fellowship. It might surprise some people, but it doesn't surprise the Lord. And I think we can enjoy some blessings along the way. I'm really excited about heading into the fall. I always get excited about heading into the fall. Fall is always a time in a church where new things are happening. People are settling in after moving in the summer. And after a summer scramble with Adult Bible Fellowship, which has been longer than most summers because of some of the things at the end of the summer, I think we're going to be really ready when we get started. So let's ask the Lord to bless, and we'll jump into this together. Father, thank you for these that have given of their Friday evening. I pray, Lord, that you give us now wisdom as we discuss together what we'd like to see happen in the Adult Bible Fellowship. Lord, I pray that that 9:30 hour in our church would be a connecting time, one of the most important times in our week, as we share God's Word and interact with one another, as we see that fellowship strengthened. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one in this room to see blessings through their labors and rewards laid up in heaven. And Lord, I pray for Ben as he gets started with his duties here, that you'd enlarge his vision. For Pastor Keith as he continues forward, that you'd enlarge his strength. For the new class that's happening with Pastor Taylor and Pastor Thomas, that would be met with much enthusiasm and great blessings. And then along the way down this corridor, Lord, that we would simply see the Word of God being taught in a way that people are capturing it and growing in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pass this out to you. You know what? I need to pray for Tim Hansen before we go further. I had it listed and forgot while I was eyes closed. Father, I do pray for Tim Hansen as well, that as he has surgery scheduled on Monday, that even between now and then, he'd be comfortable in the hospital, that there would be no movement in his neck, and there'd certainly be no long-range problems, but that you'd help him to have a complete healing and your blessings as he goes through what no doubt for a young man would be quite frightening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Hey, Jim. Man, we really can start now. Let me tell you where we're going. I'll scare everybody to half to death, but we'll make it. Some of you have partners. Some of you are going to be begging for partners. But it's all good. Don't read too far ahead here. Thanks for being here, Joel. Oh, I don't mind. Keith's seen all this. He probably's got electronic copies already. Okay, just pass that right down. Keith, just right down the road, Keith. Everybody else got one. I know where your eyes are going, so I'm going to go ahead and jump there first, and then I'll come back. Yeah. Somebody asked, how many Adult Bible Fellowship classes will we be having this fall? Well, pretty much the same as what we've had, but I want to talk to you about burden and vision and move forward with it. When I came to Colonial, correct me if I'm wrong here, so some of you that have been here a while, the least tenured adult Sunday school teacher at Colonial when I arrived was George Thornton. He was in his 10th year teaching his class. Along with George Thornton, you had Pastor Aguirre, you had Pastor Roshi, of course you had Pastor Thomas, and you had Harvey. And so George was the least tenured. Now I'm going to speak very openly and very critically if you don't mind, okay? Our desire in the Adult Bible Fellowship is to create opportunities for people to grow in Christ and be discipled. One of the greatest ways to be discipled is to be teaching the Word. The Lord didn't say to his disciples, listen to me for 3 years, and then I'm going to send you out to turn the world upside down. No, he said, listen to me while I'm sending you out. And he sent them out two by two, and they came back and returned, and they grew. One of the greatest ways to grow is to be involved in teaching the Word. Now, I want you to look here and listen carefully. I'll talk down to you like junior hires for a minute here if you're not listening. In discipleship, in a local church, there is the necessity that there be opportunity for others to be teaching the Word. Now, I'm not speaking critically. I'm just saying that is a core belief of mine. We need to have people that are... people are going to say, I can't. Never done it. Good. That's exactly the right attitude. If you come at it with the spirit of, hey, no big deal for me, we don't want you. If you come at it with the spirit of, I'm over my head and bailing, that's where the life of faith is. We live here. I can do this. God wants us to be here. It's impossible for me. And faith fills in the space. And so we want to always be challenging folks in our church. Hey, have you ever tried teaching? Have you tried serving as an adult department leader? Somebody said to me not long ago, and it registered. He said, you know what has happened in many of our churches? We have so honored faithfulness that we've forgotten to honor excellence. That's a scary thought, but it's true. We want to honor excellence and faithfulness. Both are great virtues. But along the way, there's going to be some challenges and some bruises. And as you know, if you've been with me now for these 4 years in pastoral ministry, I'm a person that likes change. It's not unintentional change. We have no choice in changing George Thornton's class. He moved. We have no choice in changing Pastor Roshi's class or Pastor Regier's class. He moved. Pastor Roshi is not going to be on the pastoral staff. Frankly, I've always thought it's a better fit to have non-pastors teaching Sunday school. Why? Again, we're trying to develop disciples, and the way disciples are developed is by engaging them in the ministry of the Word and the ministry to others. Perhaps the best forum for doing that we have at Colonial Hills Baptist Church is our Sunday school department. And that means across the board, we've got to look and say, we can't be static. We're thankful for some who have taught in our elementary department. Josh, how many years in the elementary department?
Oh, wow. I support graders. I've got them in college.
Right.
Over 10, 12, 13 years.
And that's exciting. But you know, new people are coming in. We've got to be saying, we've got to have levels where we're developing leadership. Watch this. Because if we don't, we'll never be sending out leaders. Our goal is to train, recruit, and send out ministers for the gospel's sake. And so when we come back to these places, we're saying, scrambling is not always bad, but people are going to think so. Well, I don't like change. Well, you got to realize change with a purpose can be a good thing. So on your outline sheets here this evening as we begin, I'm going to jump you down to introducing life stage classes. We have, I think, every department at least represented, but we have some departments that we have people missing, and we're going to talk about that. But here's what we'd like to do this year. We'd like to go young adult 1, young adult 2, middle adult 1, middle adult 2, and senior adult. That's not very creative. Pastor Keith is going to talk in a moment about the possibility of even adding some titles to those classes. With that in mind, what we're going to be announcing to the church family is this is a combination age class. So life stage classes, combination age 36 to 71. So every couple that's in the age group of 36 to 71, as they add, and here's how we'll explain it. H plus W, husband plus wife equals X. Okay? So husband plus wife, 36 to 71. If that's your age category, math guy over here, he's loving this. All right, it's really confusing because I'm not married. Well, that means Y plus Y equals X, U plus U. Okay, and just fit into that life stage class. Well, why would you do that, Pastor Phelps? Why don't you just say 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, because that's not how we're doing it. Okay, we'd have a real mess. The real mess would be we'd have bubbles in some places and barrenness in others. And so what we're going to try to do is adjust the age department so that we can have some equanimity among the classes. So, leadership for the adult one, we're looking to the Fries and the O'Neills. The O'Neills served this way last year, and teachers, Ryan Reason and Lauren Elms. Leadership in adult two, Meckley, and if you see a line there, it's because we're still recruiting, and Keith is, Funkhauser's back there going, oh no, I got a line there. We're going to give you some names, Keith, and we got a couple weeks, and we'd like to fill this in. Barbara and Cheryl are teaching in that class. Shaughnessy and Williams are in the adult two. Senior adult, Pastor Thomas and Pastor Taylor. Now, with that in mind, let's go up and talk philosophy just a little bit, and then I'm going to go shotgun method on you. Deuteronomy 31:12 was the verse that helped, hey, Brian, welcome. The verse that helped to found the Sunday school movement. Here you go, brother. You look official. I'm glad you're here, Brian, because we're about to get some stuff that might cause heart attacks, and you're about the only medical provider that we have in the room right now. Robert Raikes was the founder of the modern Sunday school. Raikes was from Gloucester, England. In 1780, he had a burden to help reach street children with the gospel, but they couldn't read. He talked to a neighbor lady by the name of Mrs. Meredith, who happened to live on Sooty Alley. Sounds like a nice part of town, doesn't it? Sooty Alley. And they had a vision for just inviting children to come, first to teach them how to read and write, so they would be literate, and then to teach them the Bible. The verse that became the battle cry for the Sunday school movement is this verse here in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, that they may fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of his law. When we're gathering together this evening, we're gathering with an adult Bible fellowship in mind. And we need to keep in mind that our adult Bible fellowship is existing for three reasons. One, to evangelize the lost. You say, well, we don't see a whole lot of people getting saved in our Sunday school classes. Yeah, but we still have a purpose that we're praying for, that people would be saved in our Sunday school classes. I could give a lot of testimonies about people who've gotten saved in Sunday school classes. I remember teaching a discipleship class a number of years ago, and we were going around the circle, and I'd been out of town, and usually when I didn't know if the person was really saved when we gave testimony time, I'd go to their home during the week and make sure what they were going to say on Sunday. Went around the circle in the Sunday school hour, and this fellow Charlie Temple says, well, I probably should do what Robin over there just talked about, walk in the aisle and trust the Lord, but I haven't done that yet. Then he looked at his wife, and she said, well, one day when I was in junior high camp, I was sitting on a rock and a sunbeam kind of fell on me. The cows parted. And ever since that, I've known God's been part of my life. Everybody got real quiet in that room on Sunday school morning. And that morning, I was preaching in 1 John, and they both walked the aisle and trusted Christ as Savior. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of having a guy in a Sunday school class, and everybody in the class was supposed to stand up and tell why they came to church that day. And this guy stood up and he said, well, I'm a Roman Catholic. My family's Roman Catholic. I grew up in western Pennsylvania with a bunch of Roman Catholic Germans. And I got to tell you, I'm in this church today because my wife wanted to come here. If it was up to me, I'd be in the Catholic church. And he sat down. The next day, the chairman of the deacons and I went over to his house. And the man trusted Christ as his Savior. His name's Jeff Kleiber. And 2 years ago, he was the chairman of the deacons in the church I used to pastor. Those are exciting things. They're not going to happen every week. But we want them to happen. Amen? We want to see people coming to know the Lord during the Sunday school hour. We don't want to assume that just because they came at 9:30, they're saved. Although we know that when people come at 9:30, they've probably been a little bit more churched, typically, than others. It's always exciting to have a 9:30 visitor. 9:30 visitors, Sunday school visitors, mean people that are more apt to be back next week. 10:45 visitors are people who are just checking you out. 9:30 visitors are usually people looking for a church. So we want to evangelize. Beyond evangelizing, we want to be able to edify the believer. To edify the believer. Ephesians 4 talks about the burden of the pastor. And the burden of the pastor is that he would teach so that others would be involved in the work of the ministry. And we see that during our adult Bible fellowship time. It's a place where believers are edified, where they're learning the Word. And I'm going to talk about that here just a little bit more in a moment when we talk about the title that we have. And then to enlist faithful workers. Some that are serving in leadership capacity are going to look at the task and say, I can't do it. True, unless you delegate. And when I talk delegation, I get real convictional about it. The psalmist said, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou considerest him? And yet he says, thou hast placed him over all creation. That tells me that from the moment God put Adam in the garden and said, tend it, God was delegating. The wisest king of Israel was Solomon. If you read his life, you're going to discover that Solomon had somebody who was in charge of bringing in the meals, and somebody who was in charge of watching over the priest, and someone who was in charge of the cavalry. I mean, he delegated. And the Lord did that, didn't he? He sent out his disciples. So when you see the responsibility of leadership that we'll talk about in a moment, I want you to really think about who in the class can we enlist to help serve. Servants are only built as they serve. So these are the three purposes. We want to evangelize, we want to edify, and we want to enlist others to serve with us. Why? Because at Colonial Hills Baptist Church, on any given week, just about 60 to 70% of our Sunday school is going to be adult. People hear the word Sunday school, they think kids. That hasn't been the case, really, since the 1970s. The average evangelical church that has a Sunday school class has more people in the adult departments than they have in the children's departments. So we like to start in the adult department to build Sunday school and build the 9:30 hour. Because if the parents are there, guess what? Kids are too. And we want to reach those parents and the family as well. So it's adult, because it's predominantly adults today who are attending that 9:30 hour. It's Bible. The Word of God needs to be the center of everything we're doing. And it's fellowship. Christians need fellowship in order to accomplish the one another's of Scripture. We have a pretty simple format that we follow from 9:30 to 9:50. From 9:30 to 9:50, 9:45 sometimes, the department head leads the fellowship time. There's prayer, announcements, maybe a song, maybe it's Scripture memory. And we're going to talk about some special events that can spice things up and bring more life to that 15 or 20 minutes so that it's not so routine that anybody can predict it. Here's what we want. I want the department heads to focus in right now. We want it so different that when somebody comes in late, they've missed something. Not so predictable that when they come in late, they just heard the same thing they heard last week. So we want to mix up that 15, 20 minutes. And we can do that by planning ahead. Then the teacher time, which is the majority of the time, 35, 40 minutes max. Dismissal has to be at 10:25. Why? Choir. If the choir is not down the hallway by 10:30, all of us are really in trouble, especially your pastor. Okay, so we want to be dismissed at 10:25. And we've done a pretty good job of that. The class divisions are given there. We'll talk to you about who's in those classes in a moment. If you turn it over, here comes the potpourri time. Any questions up to now? I'm watching my time. It's Friday evening. Questions up to now? I know everybody wants to get home and see the high school kickoff down there at Colt Stadium, but sorry, here we go. Important considerations. At Colonial Hills Baptist Church, about 70% of those who join us, this is on the backside, number one. About 70% of those who join us for the morning service do not, I'm sorry, about 30%, I just reversed the number. 30% of those who join us for Sunday morning do not attend Sunday school. So we've got a built-in market in the foyer. But we have to have brave leaders that go, you missed something this morning. We want you there. And so we're looking for those 30% to bring them in. Let me give you the real truth. The people in church who don't come to Sunday school are usually the first people to leave the church, because they haven't gotten connected. It's really hard to connect when you come at 10:45, sit in a little group, and the song leader gets up and starts. You haven't met anybody around you. Connections happen going up and down this hall and in that adult Bible fellowship department. So what are our goals? Well, we want to teach the Bible, and we want to be interactive. I was talking to Keith about this. This year, Keith is 2 weeks ahead of us in his preparations. He's starting in Philippians before we start the adult departments. That's good news. For those who are following Keith in his outlines, it's nice to know he can have them to us on Monday instead of on Thursday. Amen? He said, I don't do a whole lot of interaction, Pastor, because it's my one time in the week to preach. We want some interaction in it. And in fact, if you were looking for how do we want it to be, kind of like what I'm doing on Wednesday night. If I'm asking questions on Wednesday night, it's because I wrote the question down to ask. Nothing happens accidentally. This past Wednesday night, I asked the question, so we have disembodied spirits. I wouldn't ask that question if I didn't know where I was going with the answer. Okay? So, but I want it to have a sense of interaction. Questions open the mind. And so as we teach, we want some interaction. We want to teach a well-balanced biblical diet. We want to provide fellowship opportunities, develop spiritual leaders by sharing the load. We want to do one another ministry, and this church has been so good at that. We talk about safety nets. We have four safety nets at Colonial. When people have needs, here are the safety nets. We have the Adult Bible Fellowship, where people recognize the needs of one another and help meet those needs. We have the deacons, where deacons see the needs of people in their care groups and help meet those needs. We have Dr. Nell and Loretta Meckley in a ministry called Helps. If they're long-term needs, then they're there to help meet those needs. And then we have the pastoral staff. And so we have four safety nets. The Adult Bible Fellowship is one of the primary safety nets and one of the most interactive, because you have people there every week when you say, hey, so-and-so could probably use a meal for us to drop by. Somebody will be very willing to do that. So it's a safety net ministry. It also provides accountability. What's that? Well, we're taking attendance in Sunday school. So somebody's missing, help them know they're missed. We're not the Gestapo. We're not saying, hey, you haven't been here in 3 weeks. You must not be a godly Christian. That's not our intent. But you know what the worst thing a person can say about a church is? I left and nobody cared. Nobody called. Nobody cared. We want to provide that care. Pastor Ben's going to be in a new role. And that new role is helping us be sure that we're careful with our database, we're careful with our enrollment, and that the leaders, the department heads, have somebody to turn to help with the creativity. We have two activity weekends coming up this fall, October 11 to 13. We've slated on the calendar, and I'm talking to department heads now. Here's what happens at Colonial. Sunday school has sometimes said, it's kind of time for us to have a fellowship. I had somebody come in today asking if they could add a couple more dates to the girls' basketball calendar back in September and October. I pulled out my calendar and I said, let me just show you something. This is reality. Okay? Here's reality. If you look at a master calendar at Colonial Hills Baptist Church or any church that has a Christian school and a youth group and a few things going on, the first Saturday in September, we have Harvest. The teens are at the Harvest Rally. We have a fellowship for the Roshi. The second Saturday of September, Pastor Thomas has a Senior Saints train activity. The third Saturday of September, the ladies have a Ladies' Day Out. The fourth Saturday of September, there's supposed to be a single focus overnighter. By the time we come to the first Saturday of October, that one's open because the third and fourth, the teachers are at the Great Lakes Convention. The next Saturday of October, Adult Bible Fellowship Weekend. Why? Because the next week is a fall work day. The week after that is the IACS tournament. Now you're into November. We have an open weekend on the 2nd, couples retreat the 8th and 9th. See, if we don't put that in there, and if you don't hold to that date, there will not be a time without conflict for the Adult Bible Fellowship to have an activity. So we put it on here and we say, this is when you want to plan it. Okay? We can have that weekend open. You can have a good activity for the Adult Bible Fellowship. Couples Retreat I consider to be one of the primary Adult Bible Fellowship events during the fall. Sam and Beth Horn are going to be our speakers the 8th and 9th. Sweet people. Yeah, you know Brother Sam. And his wife has been through a dreadful battle with cancer, and I'm sure they'll be a real blessing to us. It's up at the Essen House the 8th and the 9th. Okay, the overall year schedule, we start September 8th, so now we're on August 23rd. We got a couple weeks. That's the good news. We can catch the people that aren't here tonight and recruit a few more. We start the 8th. There's no class the 20th. That's Heritage Sunday. We have Resolution Sunday, no class the 29th. The 6th is Missions Kickoff in April, and June 2nd, we return to Summer Scramble. There might be something else come up in between, but not much. That's pretty much our calendar for Adult Bible Fellowship. Electives that we'll be offering. I see Lauren over there. He's now coming back as a veteran elective offerer. Rob is the most veteran elective offerer. Family class, the Lefus have been doing that, doing a wonderful job. And we're really going to fire up all the cylinders on our discipleship groups, and that's me and Ben. Okay? Sunday schools multiply by division, number 7. Sunday schools multiply by division. They multiply by division. Right now, we know this. When we hand out the enrollment to you, our classes are already way too big. What would you think to be the optimum class for an adult Bible fellowship class? What's the optimum? 20 to 30, right? When you divide ours up into 5 departments, some of the department list right now, and there'll be other names added to it, will have 40 to 50 couples. Way too big. Couples. That's 80 to 100 people. Now, they won't all show up at once. So in this room, like we did last year, it wasn't unusual to have 70 in here. That's a good twice as big as it ought to be. Okay, I'm being indiscreet by asking this. So why aren't we dividing it further right now? Nope. Not enough teachers. Why not?
We haven't been discipling teachers. What about the round tables?
We did round tables, and some of the round table leaders are ready to go, and others of them, if we said, stand up in front of 40 people right now, would be going, I'm ready to go. Not there, okay? So we are doing that, and that has not been forgotten. We're not doing the roundtables as we enter into this because, frankly, roundtable teaching would require us right now in our departments. I'm going to guesstimate the number. 160 and 40, 200 plus 3. Okay. We need 50 teachers. We're not there yet. Can we get there? I'm smiling. That's right. Now, an optimum round table is 8 to 10. So when you divide all the adults in our church by 8 to 10 and put that many people to work, we're not ready yet. But we want to be. And that's why we're saying we have doubled up on teachers. We're going to continue that scramble going. We want people getting plugged in and becoming accustomed to teaching the Word of God. Okay, now what I just said would be very indiscreet to say when we do our kickoff Sunday, September 1st, wouldn't it? Here's reality at Colonial. We have some wonderful, deep, faithful people who have never been stretched to the point of teaching on an adult level. We're working on that. And that takes time. And so as I prayed this through this summer and met with Pastor Keith, I said, I really think here's what will happen if we don't even break up the round table. Some have a taste for that. Keith back there is going, I'm going to miss that like terrible. I appreciate that. But if we keep it kind of its own thing, we can never really move toward where we need to be because some will be coming and going. And it's got to come to a time where we can say, trust us, folks. This is going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. This is going to be one of those ultimate tests when we say all of our classes just got scrambled and we're going to be okay. Now, let me talk to you from what people will say. People will say, now, wait a minute. You're scrambling us by age division, so we're going to have a young adult class and we're going to have a senior adult class and these middle adult classes. Shouldn't the older be teaching the younger? You ever heard that? Let's put that in context. Where's the text that says the older should teach the younger? It's in the home. It's the book of Titus, chapter 2. The older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to be keepers at home. Okay, so it's a context having to do with women in the home. Let the older women teach the younger women. Give me a context that tells me younger men can teach older men. Timothy, provide that example to the church at Ephesus. So when I hear the people who say, oh, the older is supposed to teach the younger, that's not really in context. Or you could never have Pastor Keith preach on a Sunday morning. Yeah. Especially if he's clean shaven. Because I think I got a junior hire up there. And that's not the appropriate use of that context, okay? We want to multiply by division. So our goal is to enlist and encourage workers. So if you're encouraging someone to work with you, teach with you, take a week for you, don't feel bad about that. Feel good about that. It's one of the greatest joys of the Christian experience to see young people and guys your age coming along and moving forward. Josh.
I don't mean to interrupt, but just to kind of go along with this, the Sunday evening service after the tragedy, we had, you know, Pastor Taylor and Pastor Heller spoke, but we had some of our deacons get up there, including myself, and just a prayer.
Amen.
I got a lot of positive feedback.
Amen.
And, you know, I know it was, you know, certain circumstance.
Right.
Dictated it. We had some pretty big holes in our staff at the moment.
Yes.
But people like seeing leadership coming out of the
community. Amen.
They really, I mean, I had several people say they really appreciated connecting with that.
Amen.
So to build on that.
Yes.
What better place to start than Sunday school?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I totally agree. Putting a person, you know, the interns come every summer. Get you behind the scenes when the interns come. No intern gets up during a first summer year here and preaches without having preached it to me first. And sometimes two and three times. I sit in a big empty auditorium. And this summer it was really tough for Thad. Thad doesn't organize a message very easily. And I listened to his message twice before he preached it to our congregation on Sunday night. Why?
Decently in order.
Well,
that's your oversight. That's your...
What would happen if he got up and bombed?
It would crush him.
It would crush him. And my goal is to make him go out of that service going, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
He learned by me listening to him. That's a goal. So yeah, we don't want to do the spontaneous thing. The Sunday school is a better place for us to do that, where material is in place, where leadership is being developed. And exactly right, Josh. It builds on that. Excellent. So department heads, be soliciting workers. Somebody's going to have to take attendance. You might have somebody in your class that's just a remarkable activity director type person. You might have somebody who has a burden to reach out to new people. You might have somebody who is a follow-up director when people have been coming and they missed a week. Assign tasks. Plan each week creatively. We'll talk about that momentarily. Safety guidelines. Each classroom, we have these evacuation things on every classroom, no matter where you are down through here. And also, Ray Alexander has very faithfully given us a listing. It'll be on the door every Sunday of who the on-call medical personnel will be for our church. So that's every Sunday. If you have an issue, you can go back there, and the phone number will be on the wall, even in your class, Brother Bert, so we know how to get out of the building and who to call if you have an issue of safety in the class, okay? Always arrive early. There's a teachers and workers meeting at 9 o'clock in the library. Now, I've left that alone a lot because Jerry McKinney's our Sunday school superintendent. I figure Jerry be getting the word out. But let me put the word out. 9 o'clock, every department should at least have a representative there, because if there's an announcement happening or some prayer request that needs to be shared, if there's a representative from the department there, they can bring it to the class and it'll go well. We're not going to do voting on class presidents. The assignments that are made right now on who the department heads are or who the department heads are. We're going to give you some list to think about naming your class, and however you want to go about that, that's fine, and we are open to decor. If you look in here, it has been painted this summer, but it's fairly Spartan. This is somebody's class, okay? If you have some strong opinion about what you want to do, we are very open. The gathering place is kind of where we'd like to be as far as the decor. If you go in there and look around, it doesn't look like this. Ann Alexander made the curtains in there. We may be contracting with Ann, if you don't mind, to do some curtains. But if you look in here and you have a strong opinion as the department head or as a class teacher about doing some things differently, we're very open to that. Choir rehearsal, as we said, is at 10:30. We're going to be asking you to recruit coffee helpers from your class. That's a big job, much appreciated. And finally, here's how prospecting works at Colonial. This fall, Lord willing, I'm going to start a new class called the Newcomers Class, so that when a new person comes through the door, I can say to them, hey, I've got a class at 9:30. It's in my office, the Newcomers Class. Love to have you. I want to bank people in there so I can pass them on to Ben and put them in discipleship classes. The discipleship class is 12 weeks, and here's what happens. People will say, I've been a Christian for 35 years. I don't need a discipleship class. But you know what? What I've discovered, a lot of Christians who've been saved for a long time have never had an organized, thematic, doctrinal introduction to their faith. They just get dropped in, and they're like swimming. I was talking to Nikki at the door, and she had discipleship. Wednesday night, Nikki Lester, who's just coming out of cancer treatment, was in Wednesday night as we're talking about disembodied spirits and the rapture and souls coming from heaven and bodies coming from earth. And she said to me at the door, I said, how'd you like Wednesday night? She said, well, I liked it, but I still haven't figured it all out. Right. But you get it little by little. What I try to say to people who come to our church who have been saved for 30 years, hey, we understand. But you know, there are going to be other people in that room that are going to need your friendship and need your faithfulness as a model. So that discipleship class, when we put people in there, get people recruited in there, we ask them for 6 weeks. Could you be part of it for 6 weeks? Why? Because nobody's going to sign up for 3 months when they're new to your church. So what we'll do is we'll tank them there. Newcomer class, discipleship class, then the adult Bible fellowship as they move forward in our church. Okay? Questions on any of that? Pastor Keith, you want to come give an introduction of what we're doing for the teachers?
All right, if you take that sheet I just gave you, or the packet rather, and just open it up, I'll just kind of quickly walk through what's in there for you. And you've already seen some of this, but the front page kind of lays out in chart format what the departments are going to look like there. Of course, Single Focus will keep on meeting upstairs with the Filipino class just down the hallway. We're going to be starting a ladies class that will meet down at the end of this hallway, and Rebecca Lewis will be teaching that. And then you'll see the five adult Bible fellowship departments listed, young adult 1, 2, middle adult 1, 2, and then the senior saint class as well. The third column there, approximate number of couples. If you flip forward to the third page there, you'll start seeing listed out for you a very rough template for you of those that are on your roster. There's work that needs to be done in our database that we're undergoing right now. We'll be organizing a meeting next week to kind of clarify that and hopefully have a better roster for you toward the end of next week, which would still give you a week before your class starts. But this gives you a rough idea of who's in your departments. And that third column there kind of gives you an overview, 15 couples, 22, 42, 43. You can see there's a lot of variety there. And you can also see where the holes are. Our young adult one division, that's where we really need to be praying that the Lord will send us some couples and see that age group develop there, and I think this will be helpful toward that. Your room locations are listed for you there, and that's kind of determined by the size of the classes right now. Our directors, Keith in particular, you'll see your list there, and you can target some folks that you think will work well with you and you with them. We've already asked a few people, and they don't want to work with you, Keith. So I'll connect with you more on that individually, but you've got a lot of names there that that you can look through, and I know you've got relationships with a lot of them that you may feel you want to connect with, and we'll help you with that. But that's why you've got a blank right now still. Our teachers are all lined up, and we'll talk about the curriculum in just a second as far as that goes. If you look at the second page, we've just kind of thrown together a bunch of name suggestions for you, and we've tried to tie the names into that particular life stage. So, for example, the young marrieds in particular, their names, I actually spent some time a couple years ago thinking through names for the young marrieds class, and foundations, fresh start, next chapter, you can see how all that's tying into a newlywed home where those kind of foundations are being laid, where it is a fresh start. And so the names kind of tie into that particular age group. And you'll see other suggestions here. What we're going to ask from you is the department directors in particular, if you can touch base with each other and kind of come up with a name. It can be from the list. It can be a name that you'd like to add to the list. But if you can choose a name for your particular department and then get that to me in a week, that would be great. You can just email that to me. And we'll make sure that that gets up on our website as well. Eventually, we'd like to put together some thematic door signs for this wing and maybe some graphics for our website as well for each individual department. So we've done some work for you. If you're not all that creative, that's fine. Just pick a name on the list here. And if you want to coordinate one of your own, that'll be fine as well. Questions on the naming? All right, and then after that, every sheet just kind of gives you individual list for your class. You may see names that are left off of there, and that's the only, they just were left off, and that wasn't intentional. They'll be added as soon as we're able to go through our database a little bit more comprehensively. Our Senior Saints class, Pastor Phil, we're open to changing the name if you want to. That already has a good name to it. So we just left it as is for now. Then the last sheet in your packet in front of you is primarily for the teachers, but I know all of you at times may be fielding questions about what we're going to be overviewing. And so here's kind of a good schedule for you to have as we look toward this fall semester. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians together. And if you're new to the teaching arena, every semester that we've gone through a book of the Bible together, we've created a web page where those lessons get uploaded to. So instead of sending an email with all the documents attached, I simply have been uploading it to a web page, and then I'll alert you via email, hey, it's up. And that's where all the documents have been. In fact, the notes, these documents that you've already received, pastor's notes, all of that will be uploaded to the same web page. And it just creates a really nice kind of headquarters for all things ABF. That web page is listed for you there, colonialindy.org/Philippians. And if you go to that page, everything will be uploaded as you need it. Lessons, both in PDF format and in Word format. Some people just print them off and like to make their own handwritten notes. Others prefer to just type right into it. So we've got both formats for you. The handouts, and that's just for you. Some people like to take the handouts and do their own note right into the one-page handout. And that kind of personalizes it for them. You don't have to worry about printing off the handouts. We'll take care of that for you. And then we're also going to add this year some PowerPoint graphics and templates. We've already got the graphics created for the web. We'll just format them for a PowerPoint, put graphics up for you, and then we'll also put a PowerPoint template and a Keynote template if you're Mac. And those will just be right up at the top of that page, and if you want to download those and use those every week, you're more than welcome to, and I know it'll spice things up in the classroom. These are a couple of resources that we're going to make available to you as a teacher. Warren Wiersbe, many of you are familiar with his B series through all the New Testament books. His commentary on Philippians is called Be Joyful, and his structure is great, and his illustrations are very helpful. And then also Alec Motyer has a book called The Message of Philippians, and I've asked the bookstore has purchased both of those, and as soon as they come in, we'll put them at the Welcome Center teachers with your names on them, and I'll send you out an email when they're in, and on a Wednesday night, Sunday, you can just swing by the Welcome Center and pick it up. There won't be any charge for you, and the leftovers will just go in the bookstore. You'll see the schedule there. September 8th, that's 2 weeks from this Sunday. I'm going to teach a lesson to the singles this Sunday that then you'll be teaching to your departments in 2 weeks. And so we'll stay generally 2 weeks ahead. That will be an introductory lesson, kind of cover the first two verses and do a little bit of background to the book. And then you'll see the weeks after that, we'll just jump right in with chapter 1 taking us, looks like, about 5 weeks there, which is perfect. We'll split up after that, or we'll combine rather after that for Heritage Sunday. And then we'll come back together and go through chapter 2, 3, and 4 together. And right now it looks like we've got a free week, December 22nd, which usually manages to get filled by 1 week going long. So that works out really well. Then we come together all combined for Resolution Sunday. Again, on the workflow, lessons, handouts, audio supplements. When I teach on Sunday mornings with the singles, I'm going to record it, and then I'll put that recording up on the website as well. So if you want to listen to it, you're welcome to. PowerPoint templates, all of those will be uploaded to the webpage at least 10 days in advance. So when I teach it on Sunday, I may take another day or two to tweak it, edit it a little bit more after having taught it, and then I'll make sure it gets up on Wednesday by the latest, which will give you 10 full days in advance. So if you're not teaching that Sunday, you actually get a really good time frame to be able to spend some time in the text and in the materials yourself. Questions on the workflow part of it, Brian?
So if we're doing like PowerPoint, do you bring your own computer?
You will have to bring your own computer. We'll have media projectors available for you, and I'm going to find out from you in here who thinks they'll need those in just a moment. But you will have to bring your own device, yeah.
If on a particular week we find that we would benefit from extending that material one more week, that's going to then offset our class from everybody else on the same material. So fill in that last Sunday, how would that work? Do we just forget about trying to roll it over the next Sunday, try to fix it as best we can, and then keep up with everybody else?
I think generally, if we can all keep on the same schedule, that is great. So teachers, I'm going to ask that you communicate with me. There were some weeks last week where I taught it and really wanted 2 weeks, and then I talked with the other teachers, and they said, well, we all got through it fine. And so I just adjusted and went on with them, and I think I used our Single Focus website to kind of do some follow-up. So if I hear from you, if one of you were to come and say, hey, I really didn't cover very much, I'd like a second week, then I'll communicate with some of the other teachers. And if that's kind of a consensus, then we'll just make a decision together to bump it back. And so whoever was preparing for that second week would then get bumped back too, but that'll be fine. It's really fun, though, to be able to allude to something during a worship service together and have everybody in the auditorium, most of the people there that go to the ABF hour, connect with you because they just heard that the week before, or they're with you in schedule. And so for that reason, if we could keep it together, that'd be great. Second bullet here, handouts will be printed by the church and placed in your classrooms each Sunday. So you don't need to worry about printing them off for your students. We'll print those off here in the church office, and we'll have them right for you on a table in your classroom. If you would like weekly access to a media projector, I'd like to know that. And we just want to make sure we've purchased a couple machines. We may need some more. They seem to get used all the time. Most of them are on carts, so a lot of times they get shifted. And we just want to make sure that we're checking every Friday and Saturday that you've got a machine. So if you teachers would like a machine in your classroom, please just email that to me. And we'll make sure we're keeping track of that and having that prepared for you. Josh?
So if I have an iPad, I can do it all on that?
Absolutely.
Just hook right in.
Yep. Yep. If you've got a Mac, you'll just need one of those little white adapters, and then you're good to go.
Okay.
And I can help you with the adapter if you need me to.
She's good.
Yep.
HDMI or
VGA? Well, not all of them are this one's HDMI, but I know not all of them are. So if you get an HDMI one, the new ones are.
Yeah. There's quite a few of those now.
Okay.
So like the same modus operandi the pastor's been doing like on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
That same technique.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Yep. Yeah. And I'll have templates for you, so you can just open it right up in Keynote or open in PowerPoint, and it already will have headings and text, and you can basically just delete and add some new ones. Right. Right. And then I'll add some graphics if you just want to create your own from scratch. But most of you can just use the templates, and you'll be good to go. So just text me, teachers, if you want the projectors, and we'll make sure those are available. FYI number four, if you want to stay organized, or if you've got people in your class that would like to kind of create booklets for themselves, in the bookstore, we're selling the Colonial Hills Baptist Church notebooks, the half-sheet size notebooks. The handouts, when you come to your class every Sunday, they'll be pre-punched. And if folks want to just buy those and stick them in every week and keep Philippians together, they're more than welcome to do that, and they're available in the church bookstore. And then finally, my email and phone are there if you've got any questions throughout the week. Any questions over any of that? Great. Well, we'll finish up the lesson for Sunday, and then we'll have it up on the website no later than Wednesday. And generally, to be earlier than that, I'll probably get in on Monday and tweak it, but while it's fresh. But 10 days in advance is the guarantee, and I'm thankful to Pastor that we're doing it that way this year, teaching single focus 2 weeks early. It'll help us all make sure that we're staying on schedule. Thank you.
I was going to share with you, as Keith was noting, some of the demographics of these classes. If you look at the young adult class, where the Fries are, I looked down through here, and I remember last year, when we were putting through this, I just want you to see what happens when you divide to multiply. This is kind of cool. Okay, so as we look down through here, you're going to notice Jamar and Autumn, well, they're new. Phil and Megan Dennis, they're new. Joe and Audrey just got married, they're new. Andrew and Jana, new. Grubbs, new. This is all from last year. Mike and Betsy, Derek and Rebecca, Josh and Krista, the Shangeras, all came in last year. So last year, the class, that young adult department class, was like five or six names, and some of them weren't coming very much. Well, that wasn't an easy thing to do last year, because our young adult class used to be defined as those who had been married for less than 10 years. And so what we had in there were some people in their 50s who were married less than 10 years. We didn't really truly have an age-divided class. I'm just saying that to you to say there was some pain involved in that decision. There was some pushback on that decision because people were used to that class. But I look at it now and say multiplication by division really does work when we can get people associated with people with similar interests and backgrounds and needs. And that's kind of what we're doing. It's not kind of. That's what we're doing here when we come into the Life Stages classes. Okay? The other thing I wanted to say is one of the blessings of working with Keith like we're working is we're not going to be duplicating in our efforts. For instance, it's kind of a tough thing when the pastors decided to preach on Philippians on Sunday mornings, and one of the five different adult departments is in Philippians 2. So you'll discover along the way with me that when I'm putting together messages for various services, I try to make them a little bit unique. Right now it's a different drill for me. This doesn't happen very often. Right now I'm in three book studies. in Matthew on Sunday mornings. I'm in my 27th week in Matthew. And I only preached 1 week on the whole Sermon on the Mount because I did 16 weeks, I think, on it a couple years ago. I'm on 1 Thessalonians on Wednesday nights. I'm on Zechariah on Sunday nights. And I think we're coming into week 9 or 10 on Zechariah. Well, Zechariah and Matthew are really different. That's not accidental. Typically, I'll be in one or two book studies, and then the other will be a character study or a doctrinal study. And so integrating that with the Sunday school so we know that we're all together, we're trying to provide a balanced spiritual diet. So Keith and I will be working on getting a 5-year curriculum out there where we can say, here's where we're going to be over the next 5 years in our adult Bible fellowship departments so that we together are in unison and there's not an anemic spiritual diet at Colonial where you never really got the doctrine of God. You never really got pneumatology. You only got, practical life studies. We really want to build a good spiritual diet. So that's one of the advantages of doing adult Bible fellowship the way we're doing it. Just a couple things to keep us on track. This is for, I'll let everybody have them. Ben, if you want to pass this out. Adult Bible fellowship, everybody can look at everybody else's material, but this is leaders, and then this is teachers. Lauren, I'll let you help me out on this. Some of it's not new to anyone. If you've been in this before, you'll say, I've seen that before. That's fine. And then this one I'm going to leave up here. This is pointers about Sunday school that we did last January. So just grab a copy on your way out. I'm not going to go over it. But there's one here that says teachers, and these are the expectations. The objective of the Sunday school teacher is to endeavor to bring those under their instruction to a level of spiritual maturity and understanding by consistently teaching them the principles of God's Word and providing an example that they can follow. All good teaching begins with example. So the teacher needs to first be that spiritual example. You say, well, I've got feet of clay. We all do. But really, the foundation of good teaching is, are you an example? So be present at the department meeting or have somebody from your class so every class is represented. Be at the class by 9:15. It's really important that we be on time. The teacher really sets the standard for the class by welcoming and by being there. Now, I've been a little different. Some of you guys were in my class last year, and you'll see me out here at the door welcoming everybody on the way in. It's been one of the best ways for me to connect with everybody in the church. But the teacher and the department heads really set that standard. Be friendly, show concern, give considerable time to preparation by reading your lesson, attending the teacher's meeting. Now, that teacher's meeting is no more. It used to happen through YouTube, and Pastor Keith is going to have that online, but not in that way. Teach the lesson each week, be enthusiastic, participate in the class even when you're not teaching. Begin concluding the lesson at 10:20 and be done by 10:25. Check the classroom before leaving, making sure that things are in its proper place and secure replacement by notifying a department head if you're going to be in town. Now, that really goes to Pastor Keith as well. Look at the back of this. Here's some ideas. Tonight, before I came in, I set up this section instead of leaving the room the way it was. I'm a spatial person. Some people sat outside my spatial zone because the front row is never going to get used anyway, pretty much, right? Joel's here. Thank you. And the fries are over here. They're new. They'll move back. But take a look at your class. The rule of thumb is better too few chairs than too many chairs. We only had 20 chairs up. We got 35 people today. Always better to take some chairs down than have chairs empty. Better familiar than fancy. Better doors closed during the lesson than doors open. Facilities need to be preset, clean, and uniform. Refreshments readily available. Here are some things you can do. In large crowds, repeat what's being said for testimonies. Limit testimony time to approximately 5 minutes. I usually tell people when they're given a testimony, hey, 3 minutes. And I know they're going to go five. I tell missionaries now when they come to our church, we're out at 8:15. Don't tell anybody I told you you have to be done at 8:15. So get up, be done at 8:15, but don't get up and do this, because missionaries routinely do this. A pastor says I have to be done at 8:15, and it makes me the bad guy all the time, so be quiet about it, but I'm telling you, you got to be done at 8:15. Okay, well, that's a Wednesday night. But tell them what the time frame ought to be. Offer topics that stimulate interest in testimonies. Occasionally you may want to ask someone in the class to share a special testimony. Hey, next week, do you mind telling the class about that? You heard something that somebody did or something's happened? Schedule. Variety is the spice of life. Plan your work. Work your plan. All leaders should know and follow the schedule for the morning. On occasion, it's well to distribute and discuss the schedule to give everyone the impression the class time frames are under control. Teaching time should be about 35 minutes. This was table leaders, graciously, clearly introduced the teacher, that now it's department heads. But avoid using the word visitor, use first timer or guest. Identify the guest to the class. This is for the leaders, the adult department leaders. Who are they? Where do they come from? Every few months, you might want to wear some name tags. Table leaders should attempt to meet all guests prior to class and introduce them around to others. And that goes for department heads as well. Avoid lecture, encourage participation. Now, of course, you're teaching through, but put a few stimulating questions in there. Utilize group discussion that corresponds with the lessons. Have volunteers call absentees. Some other ideas that you can put in your hat on this. Okay, it's opening time and you're a department head. What about having a couple of the kindergarten kids come in and sing? What about having Marie Maurer? She's got that portable, what do you call it? I don't know what it is, but I always love it when she plays. Have her come over and do a solo in your department. We don't have to wait for Sunday night for her to play. Maybe you got a kid that's, I think one of the, do you have one of your grandkids playing a baritone?
Yeah.
Have them come play. That would be great. Maybe a high school young person, Stephen Davenport, for instance. He's chomping at the bit to do anything right now. Have him come in and give a 3-minute challenge to your department in the 50s class. Really? Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? We're trying to build leaders, and we're trying to be creative. Okay? Where we don't want to be necessarily is, we got a different video clip every week. We want to interface with one another. We want some FaceTime with people. Get them to come in. Having Dr. Whitcomb come in and share a 5-minute testimony, he can do that. Keith.
Can I just share that I got to do that a lot in high school, and I'm very, very thankful. I mean, I always appreciated it then, but now looking back on it, I'm very grateful for that. I had a quartet that we sang in, and we'd have different groups come or testimonies or like a 3-minute challenge. So.
In the different adult departments. You better believe it. Josh. Sure. Within, yeah, if you've got 20 kids in the junior department that wants to come in and do a quickie and get down the hall, you see, kids leave our churches because they never serve in our churches.
Right.
And if we think that way, we want to get them in here to the classes. And you know what? The older folks and the middle-aged folks, we all love it when they're in there. It's just such an encouragement. Don't just think there. You can think senior citizens as well. You know, the blessing of having someone from the seniors department that's in their 90s. John Weigel, I wish I had John Weigel's voice. He's got one of the most remarkable voices I've ever heard, and he's in his 90s. You know, that man could come in and share a good testimony and be a blessing in the young adult department. So think of things like that. You might want to have a snack at the class at the first sometimes. But just be creative with that 20 minutes. And if you say, I'm not a very creative person, talk to your wife. Okay, women are often more creative. Jim's over here smiling, but you know it's true. Okay, what? And then the department heads, I gave you just some thoughts there, and I think we're done. And the department heads, it says, through preparing and caring department heads, make a difference in spiritual lives. This is done by being an example, encouraging others to be faithful, be in attendance, be in the class, have registration sheets available. McKinney's will be scrambling for our first weeks of getting attendance sheets ready because it's really a big change in how our classes are being done. Be ready to introduce first-time guests, call absentees, report serious matters to the Sunday school superintendent or the pastor, delegate. Be sure every guest is followed up. Make certain the classroom looks sharp and comfortable. How are the seats? Is the air conditioning working? Are the lights under control? Is it uncluttered? Are the blinds straight? I came in tonight and I straightened all the blinds. How they look? Uniform. I did that. You should too. If you're teaching, you're responsible for that space. And here's what we tend to do. Hey, Herb Gaines is our facilities guy. Shouldn't he do the space? He can't. If it's in your mind, do it. Don't wait for somebody else. And then work with others to plan activities. Questions or needs?
How are you going to communicate all this to the general attendees?
How we're changing the Sunday school? Mm-hmm. On the 1st of September, Labor Day weekend, and it won't be everybody there,
right.
We'll communicate. Then beyond that, we'll communicate with emails to the congregation, bulletin announcements. And if leadership is enthusiastic coming in, it makes a big difference. But people ought to know, well, let's see, Pastor Roshi's not part of the pastoral staff right now. Pastor Regeer's not here. They know changes are... I've been warning of changes for a couple of years. So, here we go. Rob.
Are you going to try and do electives?
Yes.
This time?
Yes. So September 1, we'll be announcing electives, and as we do every year, asking for people to volunteer first. The other thing we want to do, understand what we have here then. We have a grid where everybody's in an age department except Brother Bird has Filipino-American class. There's a ladies class. That's not age divided. And then there are electives. So as a department head or a teacher, you may have somebody in your class who would really profit from having the family class when Lefhue's offering it. Don't be offended if they leave your department for that time. Those electives are always age blended. Good question. Other questions?
What if somebody wants to come to your class and they're not in that age group?
Eh.
What if somebody wants to come and their name's not on this list?
If they're in your age group, they can come.
Oh.
Yeah, but if they're not in the age group, we're back to square one. If we can't lead it, we can't have victory with it. We have to be able to say, no, this is for our best. Trust us here. There'll be a little bit of blend, and here's what's going to happen. I already know this. At the upper end, those 65 and up, they're going to be going, I want to be down there with Pastor Thomas and Pastor Taylor. Okay, so...
It's like somebody's been in the class you taught last year.
Yeah. That class doesn't exist. There are no classes that continue to exist. They're all gone. So, I mean, Harvey's teaching, but Harvey's class no longer exists. So there's no way to escape. We might have some losses. I want you to hear this. We might have some losses. They'll be temporary. We'll have gains. If we really believe multiplication by division and building disciples builds churches, we'll have gains. If we get losses, don't get critical, don't get angry. Just keep on moving. At some level, there has to be the courage at Colonial to work a philosophy without just listening to people who are upset about change. I'm at that level. Okay? It's taken me 4 years to get there, but I'm at that level. So pray for patience for me. But I really believe it's like the doctor that gives the injection. It hurts us both while it's being given, but it really has to happen. Because here's what happens. We comfort zone Christianity. We got the same 60 people in that class. They've known each other. They're not reaching out to the new guy coming in. Oh, yes, they are. No, they're not. I've been watching it for 4 years. So, except for Ben, they know Ben.
Yeah.
I've got Rob back here. I better get him first. Rob?
Well, to that point, you may, as far as talking about names for the classes, you may not want to use a name that has already been used.
Good.
Because
that'd be confusing.
Right.
That'd be good.
They'll want to gravitate wherever that is.
That's really good. You didn't know those names, probably, Keith.
No, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea, though. Ben?
My thought was for the first time class gets together, since there will be some that haven't been classes together. Should we do name tags?
Absolutely.
Everybody? So it's kind of a...
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Just kind of peel and stick things?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. Josh?
I know when I was doing the ABF roundtable, I had always tried to encourage, hey, you can do this.
Amen.
I was teaching guys that had me in the water.
Right.
So talk about role reversal.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe the teachers could, you know, hey, you could be part of their teaching. You can do this. We want you to do this.
Right, right.
And, verbalize that to the folks. I don't necessarily want to be up here next year.
Yeah. Well, and what we're saying here, and that's a good input, on the teachers, the class identity is age now. So the class identity is not teacher. Big difference. Our class identity used to be teacher. Now our class identity is group. Did you catch that? So Harvey may be teaching the young adults in January. That's great. And Joel may be teaching the senior adults. That's great. Teachers might float around, which is great. Because you know what? There's sometimes a George Davenport teaching is going to get something off along to somebody in that class that I never will. That's how body life works. That's reality. There are people in this room. Jim can say things I probably have preached 20 times, and it's going to click because Jim said it. God used that vessel. So the teachers will move. The groups are the identity. And the heads, that can change too. The group becomes the identity. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, I was going to say that our age exceeds the class.
What is?
So does mine, George.
Yeah. What happened, George?
Our age exceeds the group that we're assigned to.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah, there's. We're not assigning teachers according to the age divisions.
But yeah. My wife can come.
Your wife can come. Yeah, your wife always comes with you. Wherever you're teaching, bring your wife with you. Okay, causes problems if we don't do that. Anything else? I don't want to keep you all night. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited?
No.
I hope you can. I am. I'm really excited. Because I know that there'll be hiccups, there'll be skin rashes, all kinds of problems. But in the end, I believe the blessings can come. And when I illustrate by showing you the young adult department what happened this year, we lost a couple when we did that class. I saw them leave. I felt really bad. And they were a young couple. I can name them right now. But we changed the class and, well, they didn't want to stay. And I looked at myself in October and thought, this was last September when we did it. Oh, man. And then last June, I had all the young couples over to our house for a picnic. And I went, praise the Lord. Something happened this year. It's been really fun to watch. And will that necessarily happen? Everything in life's a risk. But one thing's true. If you do things the same way all the time, you'll get the same results. And right now, in our adult departments, we want to see growth. We haven't been seeing that. Why? Because we're out for numbers? No, because we're out to minister to people. I really believe one of the greatest ministries in the church happens in the 9:30 hour. Okay? Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Pastor Keith, anything left? Keith Funkhauser, would you lead us in prayer, brother, and we'll be on the way.